Can I ask you all a question? Would you be willing to hear the opposite of what you've been taught to believe?
Talk about erections again.
Well, I don't recall ever talking about erections. I talked about correction.
Oh, correction.
I talked about correction. And that's what your erection needs. Hey, baby, I got a hard correction going for you over here. Come on here. I know, long-lasting correction. That's what I want. Sometimes I hear people in the rumor mill. Sometimes I hear people say stuff about me. And one of the main ones I hear, you want to know what the main little girl pretty like
that you're sexually active.
I put out all this sexual energy. And sometimes people get offended by my sexual energy. So now you know judgment has gotten to a ridiculous level where somebody can walk away from you because of what they project to be your energy to be.
Yes.
That's deep. Now I'm supposed to change my energy. On top of everything else, I need to change for people to like me. Now my energy has to shift. There is no way you're going to get in touch with your spiritual identity, get in touch with love, get in touch with God, get in touch with the truth, and not increase your life force energy. Your kundalini, which a lot of people are going to think of as you having more sexual energy. It doesn't make any difference whether I got a whole lot of sexual energy. All that matters is what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
Only thing that matters about my sexual energy is the purpose of it. And I know there's only two things that can happen with my sexual energy. It can either be a means for me feeling guilty and afraid, or it can be a means for me feeling love and peace. That's all my sexual energy is neutral. It's up to me what it's going to be. But the first thing you want to do is, even though it's an illusion, don't join your sexual energy with someone who is different from you. Because you'll be misperceiving each other's energy. But you see opposite. It's deep, isn't it?
Thank you.
So, thank you, Doug. I had no idea that I was going to go there. I did one little comment that you made. Yeah. Well, you know, spiritual people don't talk about erections. You know, this is just in Spiritual Manual 101. There would be no sex talk in a spiritual gathering. They have more people in church than they did. Next week, we're going to talk about the spirituality of oral sex. At 11 o'clock service. And then we're going to have cookies afterwards. That church would be so full. I'll be there, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Could you imagine how much fun that congregation would be? That would be a fun congregation.
If I could get my cookies.
Especially if you could get your cookies.
Think of the test ones.
Yeah, I'm going to test right now. I'm going to see how many people can stand me being myself and see who lasts. So I got this theory that whoever I end up with will be the people that I can be myself with the safest, the most. And the rest of the, you know, and that's cool, and that's not saying there's anything wrong with anybody else, but sometimes I think that people stick around in our lives too long because we never show them who we really are.
That's true.
If they knew what you were really like, they would have left a long time ago. You know, if they really saw those insecurities and fears that you had behind the facade of calm, you know, if they really knew what they were going to have to process with you the once they got with you, if they really knew all the issues and hang-ups that your ego has made up about you that they're going to have to deal with, they wouldn't even get in a relationship with us. We have to show people how we're going to really be in the end, in the beginning, so that they'll get into a relationship with us. So I'm real nice in the beginning because that's the way I'm going to be in the end. But I'm just giving you a preview of common attractions. But I didn't tell you what you was going to go through to get to the climax. You know, I got a few things that we're going to have to work through. But you see the person you love when you first met me. That was the preview of common attractions. We all show each other that in the very beginning so that we'll get into the learning situation that we're in. So this next part is going to, the core says it's going to trip us out. Here you go. Here we go, y'all. Here the opposite. It says, okay, so you won't have a correction that really lasts until you stop confusing interpretation with fact, which is the same as when you stop confusing what's illusion with what is truth. That's when you'll start having a real correction in your life. When you know the difference between what's false and what's true, that's when you have a real correction in your life. Now, if you argue with a pupil, and who is a pupil? Any person that you are arguing with. That's your pupil. The person you're arguing with, that's your pupil. Okay? Or any person. He says, you argue with the person about a magic thought, which is an ego thought, which is a false thought, which is a fear thought, which is a judgment thought. See, we're really good at that. He says, if you argue with the person about it, if you attack their erroneous thought, if you try to establish its error, if you try to demonstrate that their idea is false, you just witness into its reality. So the more you try to convince someone that what they think is wrong, the realer you make it to them. Because they become much more focused in holding their position and believing in it more. So if you want to make sure the person that you're talking to gets more entrenched in what they already believe, argue with them. Because if you're arguing, that can only be happening because you're defending your positions. So remember this. If you argue with the person, if you attack a person, if you try to establish the error of what they're thinking or what they're talking about, it just witnesses to its reality. Now, the ego part of my mind is going to talk about all the worldly situations that sounds insane about. Like, you know, you just got to, in some situations that you just have to try to change people. I'm not talking about at that level. I'm talking about at the level of mind.
Say that again.
I'm talking about at the level of mind. If I put it this way. If you know the truth about something, it would never occur to you to argue with anybody about it. A surefire sign that a person doesn't believe what they're talking about is that they're trying to convince you about it. So anybody that's trying to convince you about anything is somebody that doesn't believe it themselves. And they're trying to convince themselves by sharing the idea with you. Because if you accept the idea, the Course says that it gives you more faith in the idea. But if you already believed it, you wouldn't even see any need to convince anybody about it. So that's what it means when it's talking about if you try to attack the idea, prove that it's false, or any of that stuff, you're just making it realer. He says depression is then inevitable. He said, because you're proving both to the other person and to yourself that it's your task to escape from what's real. I'll say it again. Let me make sure I can hear this. The reason why I get depressed most of the time is because I am trying to prove to people all the time that they've got to escape from some kind of danger that's real. I'm depressed because I'm always convincing myself all day long that I need to escape from the situation that I'm in. I'm depressed because I'm trying to convince everybody around me all day long that we need to somehow escape from the situation that we're in. That's depressing. I'm making this situation real, and then I'm trying to convince myself and everybody else we need to get out of it. He says, that's depressing. He says, because it's impossible to get away from something that's real, because if it's real, you can't get away from it. That's the definition of real. If it's real, you can't escape it. If it's real, you can't get away from it. So you can never, ever, ever escape from something that's real. So he says, when you convince yourself that your problems are real by always trying to defend the reality of them, then you make yourself feel depressed and you make your problem seem real. And when you make your problem seem real, then it looks like you can't get away from them. So the reason why it looks like you can't get away from your problem is because you're making it real by always attacking your problems and everybody else. Then he gives a great definition of reality. He said, reality is changeless. If it's real, you can't change it. If it's real, you can't change it. But magic thoughts are just illusions. Otherwise, salvation, which is our healing, would be only the same age-old impossible dream in but another form. Yet our dream of being healed, our dream of salvation has new content. It's not the form alone in which the difference lies. So right now, we're at a point that we're beginning to learn that the only thing that's making our problems real is us. Yeah. Any questions about that first paragraph? Because, I mean, this sounds loud. This sounds opposite to me.
Oh. Mm-hmm. How do you get away from your own reality
of
making your problems real?
The way you get away from your the reality you made by making your problems real is to realize, first of all, you got to stop confusing your interpretation with what's going on. You got to stop thinking it is the way you think it is just because you think it's that way. You have to let go of the idea that your interpretation is the one that's true if you want to have a real correction. You have to, in other words, before I can say my interpretation of you is true, then I have to have a correct interpretation of you. And if I got a correct interpretation of you, then I would feel nothing but love. So anything other than love is my interpretation. Anything other than love is your interpretation. The Course says, if you look at me and you don't feel love, you haven't seen me yet. And it's easy to tell when you're around people who haven't seen you yet. They be throwing rocks at you. They be talking about you, calling you a dog, ugly, pitiful, you're not enough, you lazy, you jealous, you stupid, you're not, you know. You know exactly what a person says who doesn't recognize you. A person who doesn't recognize you is saying everything to you but something loving. And once you recognize the truth about yourself, you know that what they're saying is none of your business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what the Course is trying to get us to see, is that the reason why we're depressed is because we keep on arguing with people, trying to convince them that the way they're thinking about something isn't true, which makes it real to us, and then it looks like we can't escape from it. Because we're the ones making it real.
And at the same time, isn't that confirming the reality that they perceive themselves?
Right. You're also reinforcing their belief in whatever it is they already believe. So all those people who are against the way we think, they're making it real. We need to thank them every day.
Cool.
All the people who don't like the way you think, and they say it's different, and they say it's weird, and they say they don't believe, you don't understand. Those people are making your belief stronger. So the truth is, the people who oppose us, when you're seeing it correctly, all you feel is gratitude for them because they're helping us reinforce our beliefs. Because we don't want to agree with them, which means we're reinforcing our beliefs. See, the last thing in the world our ego wants us to do is make argument okay. Or if somebody opposing us, okay. That should be the best news we could have ever heard. That if somebody's opposing us, they're helping us to believe in what it is we really believe. That ought to be the best thing that we've ever heard. But if you notice, we don't respond like that. I want you to pay attention to how there's a part of us that never responds with joy to anything that really takes us off the hook or makes us okay. Okay? I just want you to pay attention to your own reactions to the things that I'm saying. And it'll let you know that there's another part of you that you don't know about that's really listening to what I'm saying in this class. And it's not the you that you think you are that goes around the world all day. That's why when you leave the class, you forget most of what I said. It's because you never heard it anyway. It was your real self. Because that's who I'm talking to. Yeah, so your ego walks out the door and is going, why don't I remember stuff that was beyond the ego? Because it would never occur to your ego that if you stopped... First of all, it would never occur to the ego that their way of seeing things is anything other than right. Okay? The other thing about the ego is the ego doesn't even know how to tell the difference between what's really going on and what the interpretation is. An ego is just a fearful mind. So the Course says, now this is your major lesson. He said, now this is our major lesson to learn. Here we go. The major lesson is to learn how to react to magic thoughts wholly without anger. I'll say it again. The main thing we're trying to learn is how to react to this stuff without getting mad at it. The main thing we're here to learn is how to be in this experience and look at these magic thoughts, these spirit thoughts, these unreal thoughts, and not get mad about it. We've got to learn how to be in the middle of this without getting mad about it. And you do that, he says, I got to learn how to react to this insane stuff that's going on without getting mad about it.
Why?
Because getting angry about it makes it real to you. It makes it real. It makes it look like your interpretation is true. And that's the purpose of anger. Because when people feel angry, they have a tendency to feel that they're right just because they feel upset. So something about feeling upset will really make you think you're right. I wouldn't be this upset if I wasn't right. And the Course is saying, well, if you're upset, it's because you're wrong. That's right. But the part of me that wants to be right certainly don't want to hear that it's wrong. But I'm going to tell you anyway. So he says, it's only if you can react without anger that you can proclaim the truth about yourself. So through someone who is not getting angry about every doggone thing that's going on, the Holy Spirit, the higher self, can now speak of the reality of you. Okay, let me get this straight. Okay, I got it. This is the way it works. If you're saying something and I don't react with it with anger, now I can proclaim the truth about myself, which is you're wrong about everything you're saying about me, because here I am peaceful. So my peace is showing you right in the middle of your argument that you're totally wrong about anything you're saying, because the past don't matter. The only thing that's real is what's happening right now. And right now I'm standing in front of you peacefully. So now my higher self, the Holy Spirit, can now proclaim, the truth can come through me because I'm cool. See, the truth can't come through the crazy person who lost their mind. So the truth comes through me because I'm peaceful. And then he says it proclaims the truth about me, and it proclaims the truth about you. Because this love, when this love comes through me and I'm being peaceful with you, you're seeing the truth about me, which is I'm loving. But you're also seeing the truth about you, because you wouldn't be seeing me unless you were like that too. So the fact that I'm standing in front of you being loving is proof there's a part of you that's loving, because you can only see what's coming from your own mind. So if you're looking at a loving person, you're looking at a thought in your own mind that you projected out, even when you're mad. You got loving thoughts looking at you, saying, "You acting a damn fool." Okay. Sometimes that's the most loving thing somebody can say to you. You know, you acting a damn fool. But you see that again. If I allow myself to stay peaceful when the other person is doing something that's insane, then I let God work through me, and it is no way that if God comes through me that God is not powerful enough to handle whatever is happening in that moment in front of my face. If whatever's going to be going on in my future, the one thing I can be sure about, it is not going to be more powerful than the universe. I'm not that special. I don't have a problem that even God can't solve. That's too special. The person with the unsolvable problem is really trying hard to be real special. I'm so special, even God and all the heavenly hosts can't solve my problem. Either my problem gets solved or there is no God. That's a deep one, isn't it? My problem is the proof of God. If there really is a God, God will solve this problem that doesn't exist, which would kind of make God make it real, which do I really want God to make my problems real, since everything God makes lasts forever? No, God, do what you've been doing. Stay uninvolved. You heard me, Tammy. I know I have time release jokes. Some people just not laughing from something I said in my class 15 years ago. They're going down the street, and I was like, oh. When did you hear him say that? 1989. You know. Takes a minute. So I'm going to go deeper than that. He says, now what am I going to say to you when I'm letting God use me to talk to you? Well, he says, what you're going to do is you're going to remind the world of sinlessness. You're going to remind everybody of the one unchanged, unchangeable condition of everything that God created. So the one unchangeable condition of everything the universe created is that it's totally innocent. Say it again. One thing, I'm going to keep my peace so I can tell you that no matter what you think, no matter what you've done, the one condition about you that will never change is that you're sinless. You make mistakes. Mistakes can be corrected. But your essential nature is total sinlessness. You're totally innocent. That's what I'm going to remind you of. Then he says, now I can speak the word of God to listening ears. Because all of a sudden, if I'm reminding you of how innocent you are, giving you a lot of love, being real peaceful, not holding what you're saying against you, I start to have somebody who's got some listening ears. That's what he's saying. By that point, the person is like, you know, I might listen to him. Right? He says, and then I'm going to bring Christ's vision to eyes that see. So now I'm going to show you my love, but I'm finally going to be showing it to somebody who can see it. Because I'm so sick of giving it to the people who can't see it. Amen? Amen. And some of y'all are like, Ty, you know you're giving it up and they don't even see it. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all have fallen in love with the Stevie Wonders of the spiritual world?
I have.
I have. the more loving, you are, the less they can even see it. They don't even see it. They don't even see nothing good you do for them, nothing wonderful you do for them. How many of y'all done got? How many of y'all got some Stevie Wonders out there? And there's people in another meeting talking about us. Talking about what's wrong with us. Okay. He says, and finally, I'm free to teach all minds the truth of what they are, so that the truth of what I am will gladly be returned to me. So I'm going to give you the truth of what you are so you can get the truth back to me. And then he says, now since we're giving each other the truth, we're giving each other the love, we're giving each other the peace, reminding each other about sinlessness, our guiltlessness, how cool we are, he says, then what happened is guilt is forgiven. Because there's no way you're going to continue to feel guilty in the face of someone who's letting themselves remain peaceful enough for the love of God to come to you from them so they can tell you how innocent you are and how that will never change. There ain't no way in the world that you could feel that, and hear that and not feel forgiven or forgive or let the guilt be forgiven. And so the Course says that's the same as the guilt being completely overlooked in your sight and in God's word. So to forgive somebody means I'm completely overlooking that the guilt that you think you feel. I'm completely overlooking the guilt that you think you are. That's forgiveness. I'm looking past your belief in your guilt to the reality that you are innocent, because that's the one condition that never changes about anything that God's created. It stays sinless forever. And I'm here to remind you of that. And when I let that come through me, I will live in another world that I cannot be harmed in. And I won't have died. And there'll still be a pavilion in the Cherry Creek Mall. I'll be enlightened, but I'll be in the Cherry Creek Mall.
So Earl, at work, shit happens. Gossip happens.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep from getting wrapped up into that and making that realer and realer?
That's because the problem is that you are in confusing interpretation with the facts, and it's a part of you that want to argue about it and make it real. And you've forgotten that your job is to hear all that crazy stuff without allowing yourself to be drawn into it, so that you can proclaim the truth about yourself, so that God, the Creator, can then use you to alleviate the situation by bringing a loving vision into that situation and the realization of innocence. And that realization of innocence will get rid of the guilt that caused the negative situation to begin with. But that's the kind of thing that you won't know that it works until you do it, and we're trying to get assurances that it works before we ever try it.
I screwed up. No, I get it right sometimes.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. If you're getting this right, then you would not react to your own ego thoughts with anger. If you were getting this right, if you were able to pull off being loving all day or not, you still wouldn't be getting upset with yourself about it, because that would be reacting to magic thoughts with anger. So that would mean, okay, I gave it a good shot. 2 times out of 10, I was able to kind of see the love in the situation and let spirit come through. The other 8 times, I lost my friggin' mind. Okay, now, can I learn how to react to that totally without anger? Because by not getting angry with myself for using old perceptions that I've been using all my life... Think about that. You're getting upset with yourself because you're not using an interpretation that you've been using for years, one time. You know, you ought to be patting yourself on the back that you can even use a new interpretation 2 times a day when you got everything in your reality validating your old thought system. You see what I'm saying? Everything that you are experiencing is validating your belief system, so it's hard for you to believe that what you see isn't true when what you see is there because you believe it's true. So, Doug, yeah. Because you just about to smack Denise upside the head. I thought about to get to you quick. What's up, brother?
What's coming up for me is I'm sure a lot of us come from a background, core Christian background, where there's this thought that at some point we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. And so when I hear you talk about our core nature as innocence, I'm assuming you're referring to God that is in our lives.
I'm talking about you.
Right. But so where I have a hard time is when I'm dealing with people that are still in that core Christian nature, I have such a hard time helping them realize that, you know, they talk about having the Holy Spirit, but what does that really mean to them? They don't get it. And I often wonder if they think the Holy Spirit is like every person has a different Holy Spirit, and essentially it's all one Spirit.
But you know what's so cool about that, Doug, is that when you realize that your preoccupation with that is nothing but a distraction that keeps you from applying the truth to yourself. And so the purpose of focusing on them is something about the truth has frightened you, and so it seems like somebody else needs to change instead of yourself, because we're not ready to do that yet. So what's so really cool about that is that every time you want to change them in any way, even think about that, then it's reinforcing the belief, the very belief that you're saying you want to get beyond. Because the truth, what's so cool about the truth is that if it's really the truth, then in the end it's going to reveal itself no matter what the other person believes. So you know at some point if what a person believes isn't true, it's going to be revealed. So I had to kind of let go of my personal desire to be the revealer. See, I was like, my ego was very invested in being the one that made sure that people got it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You know what I'm saying? And instead of realizing that just the very nature of things is that if a person is doing something that's not true or false, it's always going to end. It's always going to fail them. You can always tell when an idol has fallen in your life. It's something you made an idol. Mm-hmm. He said, because you'd be crying. So your idols are where your tears are located. Those are the things that you make your peace dependent on. Those are the things you give your power to. And that's what an idol. An idol is something you can love but can't love you back. Always remember that. If you can love your car but your car can't love you back, your car is an idol.
Or an addiction.
Which is an idol. You know, I'm just speaking in coarse terms. You know what I'm saying? An idol is anything. You can fill in the blank, but an idol is anything that you would give your peace away about. It's an idol. Obviously. You know, it's like he's one of the obvious idols. You know what I'm saying? But people don't realize that their hubcaps are idols.
When I kept smoking, I cried.
Yeah, it was a fallen idol.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But as a teacher, if we're amongst people who have that core belief, are there things that we can say as a teacher? Besides just how we act.
Well, if you really want to teach somebody at a conscious level, it would be good to just set up a situation where you officially call yourself a teacher and then let the people come to you that want to be taught by you, rather than selecting who those people should be yourself, because usually the court says consciously selected miracles can be misguided. So the person you decide to help could be a misguided direction of, you know, coming on, especially since you decided to. Because the people who've been helped by you the most, you don't even know them. You don't even know the people you helped.
That's true.
You really don't. The people you really help from a spiritual perspective, you probably don't even know you even helped them. The people you set out to help are usually the ones you hurt. So the course is saying, leave people alone. The theme is, the hardest thing in the world to do when I get my sense of self-esteem from thinking that I'm fixing everybody. You just wiped out all of my purpose in life, because my job is to fix all the broken people, and that's how I feel good about myself. Okay, I'm gonna take one more question in a minute, and then I want to go deeper into this because it's a really powerful section. I thought I saw somebody.
No, I just want to comment.
Go ahead. I love it.
It's not unless we become that, and people then come to us because we set ourselves up as a teacher. Our job is not to teach. Our biggest job is the learning that takes place within ourselves, and being able to hold that for ourselves in each one of our situations so that all of our idols fall.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly.
And then by virtue of, exactly. of being that witness to that peace,
mm-hmm.
They may or may not see. But that's not my responsibility.
Will you marry me? The same response. You get the amount of, when you really want love, you really won't care what body comes in. You'd be glad for love to come to you. Any way love can get to you, as long as it's love. You know. I love it. I love how some people think shutting out half the human race is a smart move. Okay. Here we go. This is a crazy place. Is there anybody else? It's just us here, kind of. You know, can we admit it to each other? How many of y'all believe that this is a crazy place? This is a crazy. Yeah, this dream we're having. This whole dream of attack and separation and competition and fear and disease and poverty and murder and is it? Am I the only one that thinks that this is strange? Okay. And won't out of that kind of perception without doing something stupid and, you know, dying. It's not just, I'm not breaking out no Kool-Aid or nothing like that. I might break out a daiquiri, but... Okay. Here we go. He says, anger but screeches, guilt is real. So instead of saying I'm angry, I could be saying, you know, I'm angry at you. Your guilt is real. 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 I'm so guilt is real at you. I'm so guilt is real at you, I don't know what to do. Your guilt is real. Your guilt is real. Your guilt is real about this, and your guilt is real about that, and your guilt is real about the other. Anger is screaming. Guilt is real. And so the Course says, when I'm looking at your guilt, the reality of your innocence is blotted out as this insane belief that you are guilty is taken as replacement for God's word, which is that you're innocent. Now, this is one of the deepest sentences in this book to what's getting ready to be said next. He says, because you are replacing what God knows to be the truth, right now we're replacing the love with fear. Since we're replacing the love with fear because we're so mad that it looks like the fear and the guilt is real, and so now fear and guilt is real, so all this love and innocence stuff doesn't seem like it's real because now the guilt is real, so now my anger, my guilt has become the replacement for the Creator's word, because the Creator's word is that it's all love and love is our only reality, but my anger is the replacement for God's thoughts. He says, and as soon as you believe that the guilt is real, and as soon as you believe that the anger is real, he says, now your body's eyes can see. Now your ears alone can hear. And he says, in this little space and your tiny breath become the measure of reality. That's true. The measure of my reality is this little space that I'm sitting in and my breathing. I'm as real as the space I'm in and I'm breathing. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. He says, do you ever wonder why this is the only space you seem to take up and that you don't feel that unlimited being that you keep reading about in books? Have you ever wondered that? The Course says it's very easy. I'll tell you why. When you see everything in terms of guilt and anger, it always limits your perception so that you see everything just the opposite of the way that it really was created by God. And the way everything was created by God is in an unlimited, free way. So the minute I get angry, the minute all I want to do is focus on somebody's guilt, I'm replacing the truth of my unlimited nature with my guilt and anger. And then that's all my eyes can see. Bodies are nothing but the houses where the fear in your mind lives. but you are greater than your body. That's deep.
Thank God.
So the Course is trying to free us from our limited perception of ourselves as being embodied by teaching us how to see our innocence, which would free us from the belief that we have that we deserve punishment. And the belief that we deserve punishment comes from the feeling of guilt. So the feeling of guilt is a request for punishment in a limited reality. So the Course is moving us out of the guilt that created the problem that you have in the first place. And then once the guilt is alleviated, the problem will just disappear. That lasted about the right amount of time.
Question.
Okay.
That's probably why I have their questions, but what about people who go around and they just screw up and they rape, rob, and pillage all day long and they're not guilty?
The purpose of that comment is to give yourself an excuse not to apply any of this to yourself.
Thank you.
Because there's no answer that I could give you that would be really acceptable. And if I say to you that the serial killer is innocent, then the ego will feel like it's really won a major victory, because so many people may think that they're crazy for listening to me and never come back again.
So
it's real interesting how that works. You have to watch how your ego will pull that on you too. Remember, every time there's a simple way for you to move out of a situation, the part of you that doesn't love you always tries to make you see how complicated it would be so that you will just stay the way you already are. And that's a trick of our ego. I'll say it again. For instance, like when it was saying here, here's the answer to the serial killer, for instance. If I would really allow myself to react to him without anger enough to maintain my peace and to let the love come through me, he would probably have his first example of what he should have experienced to keep him from becoming a serial killer in the first place.
Yep.
So now I can't do nothing about how many people he had already killed, but maybe the love that I give him in this moment could prevent more people from being killed in the future. Who knows? I could be peaceful in that moment, and God could come through me and work some kind of a miracle that would heal both of us in ways that we'd never believe. See, what I realize is that I still keep limiting what I think God can do. That's what I'm realizing more and more every day. It's almost like I think God operates within the realm of what I believe is true and possible. So if I don't believe it's possible, then that's going to limit God's ability to come into my life and heal me, because I know it's not going to happen unless I believe it. See, it's like when you get that thing about, well, it's not going to happen unless I believe it, and it's got to be according to my belief. You have to watch tricking yourself with that, because what will happen is you'll believe that unless you can believe that God can help you, then God can't help you. Or you'll believe that unless you believe that the situation could be healed, it won't be healed. And you know you don't have any faith. That's why you're afraid to begin with. So it seems like you're in a hopeless situation. This is going to take your faith to get you out of it, and you know you don't have none. and so we keep forgetting that it doesn't matter what you're trying to do to hurt yourself. Something that loves you is going to heal you and help you whether you think you deserve it or not.
Yay.
And we keep forgetting that because we dole out our love based on so many conditions. It's hard for us to conceive of something loving us regardless of how we are, because of what we do, because our love is so conditional.
Yeah.
You know, we withdraw our love in a hot second if somebody doesn't do something the way we think we want it to be done. We got that yo-yo love. You know what I'm saying? We send it out there and we just reel it right on back if you don't act right. So it's hard for me to believe that God wouldn't do the same thing. So therefore, I think I'm always on trial, too, to make sure I don't do something wrong that God isn't going to withdraw God's love for me. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the course is trying to teach us that we didn't create ourselves, and what created us isn't trying to hurt us. So therefore, if we're willing to establish communication, we can get answers to everything that's on our mind every day if we were willing to get communication between us and our higher self. And so the purpose of the course is to teach you how to remove the blocks to being able to hear your own inner guidance that's directing you what to do all the time. So a true teacher is always putting you in the hands of yourself and your God.
So when I know my mind is going off, if I bring myself back with something like, I do not know the thing I am, and therefore I do not know what I am doing or where I am going or what is the meaning of me in the world, and that quote, then I'm doing myself a favor, I hope. Right?
Well, think about it. If you're thinking that, if you're telling yourself any kind of thought that makes you feel better, the result would be that you feel better. Even if it's just a little bit. That's why even if you don't believe in a positive thought, it's still cool to think. It's still, you know, saying that all the changes that I've been going through in my life, all my life have been helpful, and they're really going to allow me to experience more love and peace than I could ever imagine, feels a lot better way to look at my past than my past was horrible and it screwed me up and it made me the way I am today and nothing's going to go right for me because my father was a certain way. Those are both two ways to see things.
Yeah.
And you got a choice every moment as to which one of those ways you're going to use. And you choose which perception that you think you deserve. You're always going to go with the perception that most corresponds with how you feel about yourself. Because you always got a choice to use another one. That's part of your free will. You don't ever have to use the same thought twice.
That's cool. You don't have to use the same thought.
You never have to use the same thought twice.
I'm writing that one down.
But the course says it's a matter of motivation. So if I'm not really motivated to look at things differently because it might bring something good to me, which I don't think I deserve because I'm so bad, then I'm going to purposely be addicted to the way of seeing things that produces pain for me so that I'll receive the punishment that will someday free me to be happy again because I've been punished. So when you come to a class like this, there's a part of the mind that says that you're being denied your right to punish yourself. And that's what you think you need in order to be okay. And that's where the resistance to seeing yourself as innocent come in. That's where the resistance to seeing yourself as innocent come in. The Course says, to the guilty, the guiltless are guilty. So it says, like, to a mind that really believes in guilt, anybody who would say they weren't guilty, those are the guiltiest people of all. If I was to go into a Southern Baptist church and say, there is no sin, there is no hell, I don't believe in hell, I don't believe in sin, they would see me as the biggest, not that they, it's a possibility that I would be seen as the biggest sinner of all. I mean, for you to walk in and even say that you're not a sinner, for you even walk in and say that you're totally innocent, that's the biggest lie that ever was ever said. You see what I'm saying? So to the guilty, anybody who said they're guiltless, they're the most guilty people in the world. That's why when it looks like you're trying to be innocent and nice, sometimes it looks like you get attacked, because people who can't see and people who are hurt and they're cruel because they hurt and attack and they've been through a lot of stuff, they see nice and nice and innocent people as being the most deceptive people of all, because they look at them as if they're hiding their treachery behind this smile and nice and nicey outer persona that they're showing them. So when you're being all nice and loving, you wonder why people are acting crazier than ever with you. It's because they think you're the biggest bunch of crap they ever seen in their life. In terms of, you couldn't possibly be this good. You couldn't possibly be this loving. They can't even imagine you being more loving than they're capable of being. So that's why you give it, but you give it because of the way it makes you feel, because everything that goes through your body has an effect on your body. So you let these loving thoughts like your innocence and your guiltlessness come through you so that it'll have an effect on your mind and have an effect on your body. And as your mind recognizes its innocence more, then your mind is going to start creating more and more peaceful, loving, and beautiful and prosperous situations for you, because an innocent mind doesn't deserve to suffer. Innocent mind doesn't deserve to suffer. Doesn't it? It doesn't. We all believe that already. If you're really innocent, you don't deserve to suffer. Don't you hear that? If you're really innocent, you don't deserve to suffer. Hear that? So if you see yourself as innocent, you won't suffer. Now, did you notice earlier when I said check out how you reacted to statements that normally would seem like that would be the best thing you could ever hear? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That should have been like the best thing we could have ever heard.
But it's not real, Earl. It's just not real.
And why isn't it real?
Because it's not.
Why?
Because
is that your interpretation?
But my interpretation is not delusional.
Thank you. Because you know we're still doing this. We're still making the same mistake. We're judging the validity of the truth by our own perceptions, not realizing that the physical reality that we're living in is nothing but a witness to our beliefs. So, of course, in your world, it'll look like what I'm saying is crazy because your beliefs have created a world for you that it looks like what you believe is real. And that's the spiritual test, is that you have to hear thoughts that you don't believe at first and thoughts that you don't necessarily see in the witness for because you're still looking at your old beliefs. But you need to have these new thoughts introduced into your mind like seeds so that they will begin to produce their perceptions just like your old perceptions is producing the perception you have right now. So essentially when we come to classes like this, we are seeding our mind with brand new perceptions that will give us a new experience that's totally cool.
Ow! I like that.
All right, so I'm going to stop right here and then I'm going to close it on this paragraph that is the message that we're supposed to say for correction. Okay? Thank you for sharing with me. I do the course full time on a love offering basis, so I want you to know that I appreciate your sharing, allowing Spirit to share through you. And any way I can be of service and still be myself, I'm willing to help you. If you need somebody to make a sacrifice, I can point you to some other folk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want the people to want my help who want me to be the way I am helping them. I don't want the people that's coming in my life to tell me what I need to do for them. You know, see the difference? See the difference? Someone wanting you for what you have to offer versus someone telling you that what you need to do for them to offer to you. That's deep, man. And don't feel guilty if you're doing that. Because all of us do it. All of us do it. This is just a class for people who want to let go of the bargains.
Let go of the what?
All the bargains that, you kind of like wanting to be in a reality that's just not a bunch of bargains made with guilt. You know, I really like to, I'm going to pass this around. You know, what I mean by a bargain is I'll do this if you do that. And I'll do this if you do that. And I won't do this if you won't do that. You know, so it's not a relationship, it's a bargain.
Is that game
right? Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the challenge is that most people want to have those relationships that aren't bargains, but they still want to have their bargains for everybody else. Okay, here's the process one more time real quick. As much as you can, next class is at 1 o'clock on Sunday, by the way. And those seats on your chair are personal services that I offer in terms of one-on-one healing sessions that are really great to do. I'd like you to just take a breath a minute. Let's just relax. Just relax. I know it's intense, and I'm so thrilled to be around you guys and gals because we get a chance to really get down in here and hear some stuff that most people have a hard time even listening to. And it's very normal to get a little weary and feel like you're going a little unconscious when you hear this much stuff. As much as you can, try not to argue with anybody to prove that what they're thinking or doing is not right. Some situations you just can't help yourself and you're just going to do it. And if you do, then react to that totally without anger. Because if you can react to all this stuff that's going on around you without anger, then you become an example yourself of that very peace that you're talking about, and then spiritual power can come through you and remind that person and heal that person by reminding them that they're really innocent in their truest nature deep down inside. They're going to feel so much love from you when you let the power of God move through you that the guilt will be forgiven in that instant and there'll be a healing. Every time I get angry, I'm really screaming that guilt is real. And when I make guilt real, then I no longer see the love and the innocence anymore. Then it looks like I'm just this thing that's going through this anger. And it looks like I'm just this little thing that's going through this fear. So here's what you say. Correction has one answer to all of this and to the world that rests on this. You but mistake interpretation for the truth. You are mistaking your interpretation for the truth, and you are wrong. You are mistaking your interpretation for the truth, and you are wrong. But a mistake is not a sin. A mistake is not a sin. A mistake is not a sin. And reality hasn't been taken from its throne by your mistakes. Reality hasn't been completely upset by your mistakes. Reality hasn't been destroyed by your mistakes. God rules forever. Love yeah. rules forever. The Creator rules forever.
Yeah.
And the laws of God alone prevail upon you and upon the world. God's love, the love that created us, remains the only thing there is. The love that created you remains the only thing that is. Fear is illusion, for you are like love. You are like God. You are like love. Your fear is an illusion because you are like love. Your fear is an illusion because you are like love. I'll say it again. You're upset in this situation. You tell yourself, I'm just mistaken interpretation for the truth. I'm wrong right now, but me making a mistake is not a sin, and I haven't destroyed reality just because I made a mistake. Tell yourself, I haven't destroyed everything just because I made a mistake. I haven't destroyed everything just because I made a mistake. I haven't destroyed everything just because I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Then you say, a mistake is not a sin. It's not a sin to make a mistake. 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 And reality has not been overthrown by my mistakes. Reality has not been overthrown by my mistakes. One more time. Reality has not been overthrown by my mistakes. God rules, or if you want to say love or the Creator, whatever word works for you. I'm working with God because I got hang-ups around it. God rules forever. And that means that the laws of love are the only laws that rule you. That means the laws of God are the only laws that rule you, and they're the only laws that rule the world. And so love really remains the only thing that really exists, even though we may have interpretations that say otherwise, even though we may have interpretations that say otherwise, even though we might have perceptions that say otherwise, love is really the only thing there is. Freedom really is the only thing there really is. Love really is the only thing that really is. My fear is a false idea. My fear is a false idea. My fear is a false idea. I am like love. See, I am like love. I am like love. I am like God. I am like love. I am like love. So my fear is a false idea, because you know something? I'm really just like love is. So fear is just an illusion, which means it's nothing but false evidence appearing real. Fear means false evidence appearing real. Fear means false evidence appearing real. I'll see y'all next time. Preacher, can we acknowledge y'all? Woo! Man. And just do it as best you can. And then forgive yourself all the other times and you got this down. So don't think you can pull it off all the time, but in the time, just a little bit. You know, when you would normally try to step in, correct, fix, just don't do it this week. Just a little bit, you know. Some situations you're not going to be able to help yourself. Your old habit is going to come through. Or the next time somebody, if just one time this week you see somebody kind of looking like they're angry or saying something crazy or in the illusion, if you can just one time not get mad and just kind of just be there peacefully and see what happens. Just see what comes through you. You know, do it in very minor situations that's not a big stretch for you. Don't try it in those really, really, really trigger situations unless you want to, but start off in the little smaller stuff. And then when you see those little successes, you'll eventually want to use it in the bigger and bigger situations. Most people do it just the opposite. They'll walk out of this room and they'll try to forgive the person they got the biggest grievance against. Put the person that you got the biggest grievance against at the back of the line. All right, see you next time. Put them at the back of the line.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.